Here now the selected readings about rest from the books of Genesis, Exodus, and Matthew. The heavens and the earth and all who live them were completed. On the sixth day, God completed all the work that he had done. And on the seventh day, he rested from all the work that he had done. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on this day, God rested from all the work of creation. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created. So Genesis 2, verses 1 through 4.
Remember the Sabbath day and treat it as holy. 6 days you may work and do all your tasks, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. Do not do any work on it, not you, your sons or daughters, male or female servants, your animals, or the immigrant who is living with you. Because the Lord made the heavens and earth, the sea, and everything that is in them in 6 days, but rested on the seventh day. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11.
Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Learn, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30.
At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry, and they began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. When the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath." He said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God and ate the bread of the presence, which it was not lawful for him or his companions to eat, but only for the priests. Or have you not read in the law, on the Sabbath the priests in the temple break the Sabbath and yet are guiltless? I tell you, something greater than the temple is here. But if you had known what this means, 'I desire mercy and not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." Matthew chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. May God bless this reading and hearing. This morning we continue with a second of a five-part Lenten sermon series titled Create in Me. I will not re-preach my sermon from last week, other than to say that last time we looked at the topic of curiosity and how developing a pattern of curious questioning in our lives can be a doorway that we walk through to recreated selves, recreated communities, and even a recreated world. Just ask Moses, who at the burning bush said to himself, "I wonder what's over there. I think I'll go over and see." This morning we look at the topic not of curiosity, but of Sabbath rest. Make no mistake, this is not a simple or easy topic. It might be easier for me to preach about human sexuality or the Mueller report or something like that. But Sabbath is personal, and we're not always so good at it, and so this may cut close to the bone. So in his 2014 book titled Sabbath as Resistance, biblical scholar Walter Brueggemann tells us a few things that we already know. First, he tells us that so many of us in our contemporary American culture, we do not keep an intentional period of Sabbath rest observation in our lives. And though we don't are intentional about setting aside a Sabbath time, at the same time, we live lives in the rat race, many of us, most of the time. And we are valued, and maybe even we value ourselves, not for who we are, but for what we can produce and for what we can consume. And he reminds us that the fruit of this for so many of us is a life of almost unmanageable anxiety. He says it like this: "For the most part, contemporary Christians pay little attention to the Sabbath. We more or less know that the day came to reflect in U.S. culture the most stringent disciplinary faith of the Puritans, which in recent time translated into a moralistic prescription for a day of quiet restraint and prohibition. Today we are a society of 24/7 multitasking in order to achieve, accomplish, perform, and possess. But the demands of market ideology pertain as much to consumption as to production. Thus, the system of commodity requires that we want more, have more, own more, use more, eat and drink more. And the product of this rat race is a restlessness that issues inescapably in anxiety that is often at the edge of being unmanageable." Hard words, but I don't think new for any of us. The antidote to this life of almost unmanageable anxiety is not a secret. It's an ancient practice of keeping Sabbath. So the question for us this morning is, what is Sabbath in our Judeo-Christian tradition exactly? How do we get more of it? And how does it hold the potential to recreate us anew? Let's pray. Amen. So what is Sabbath exactly? Well, first, the word, it's helpful to know, comes from the Hebrew word sabbat, which means to cease, to stop, to rest. Nothing too surprising there. As Alex and I just read from Genesis and Exodus, we see also that Sabbath is part of God's plan, right? That God created for 6 days, according to the story, and then on the seventh day, God rested, modeling rest for us. And then in Exodus, God then commands us to, in the fourth commandment, to keep a regular pattern of Sabbath in our lives. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, the fourth commandment says. Jesus, too, kept a regular pattern of Sabbath observation. He was a good Jew, after all. And we read in our passages from Matthew 11, where Jesus says to his disciples, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And importantly, right after that, he gets into this debate, this fight with the legal scholars, the Pharisees, about Sabbath practice. And at the end of that, he does something really dangerous. He proclaims that he is the Lord of the Sabbath. Remember how I said this was controversial, this idea of Sabbath rest? That's the moment in Matthew's gospel where the Jewish leaders decide to hatch a plot to kill Jesus. It was that serious. Sabbath can be dangerous. So Sabbath is rest. It's also central to our tradition, central to Scripture, something God modeled and commanded, and something which Jesus modeled for us in his life as well. It's something more, though. Brueggemann tells us that Sabbath is also a saying no and a saying yes, right? So it's a saying no to the rat race, to endless cycle of production and consumption, saying no to our phones, no to our phones, no to our phones, a no to the things that don't feed us, and which take from our bodies, our minds, and our souls. It's a saying no to that, but it's also a saying yes, right? A saying yes to real relationships with real people. Saying yes to our bodies, saying yes to our emotions, saying yes to our souls, saying yes to laughter and joy, saying yes to all of the best things in life. So it's a saying no, and it's a saying yes. And lastly, and from my own experience, I can speak that Sabbath can be pure joy. Here's what I mean in my own life. So about 15 years ago now, Deirdre will remember this, my brother-in-law married my sister-in-law, a Jewish woman, and he converted to Judaism, and they are practicing Jews. observing Sabbath. So they decided to come to visit us one weekend. And this was at a time in Deirdre and my life when things were just over the top busy, right? New homeowners, new parents. Deirdre had a demanding job in Boston. I was in seminary and also working as a youth pastor. It was so busy, we needed a spreadsheet to get through every single day. I mean, just ridiculous. You know what I mean, many of you. And the results of that were cracks in the family foundation. We needed a change. So Ray and Rachel come to visit us and got there by Friday afternoon before sundown. And as the sun set, they did something that was completely foreign to us. They did nothing except for sit and rest and talk and laugh and eat and just enjoy company and conversation. I have to tell you that it was so simple and so life-giving to just be drawn into their Sabbath orbit. And Deirdre and I don't even know if we talked about it, but we just knew that we needed that in our family life. So quickly after that, we established a pattern on Friday evenings in our family of observing Sabbath. And that has continued now for 15 years in one form or another. And the result of that has been a stronger family, a more centered family, a more faithful family, and a happier family. So what is Sabbath? It's rest. It's central to God's plan for the world and for us. It's a saying yes, it's a saying no. It can be pure joy if you allow it in. And I'm going to guess that it's exactly what many of us in this room really, really need in our lives. So let's get practical. Like we did last week with curiosity, we asked the question of how. How is it that we can establish a pattern of Sabbath rest in our lives that it might recreate us anew? It's a huge and complicated question, and there's no easy answers, but there are some things that I've found helpful in my own life and practice, and so I'll share those as they may be helpful to you. First, it can be very helpful simply to remember. Remember what? Remember that Sabbath isn't an outlier. You know, it's not some corner of Scripture or our Judeo-Christian tradition, but that Sabbath is central. It's at the heart of what it means to be a follower of Jesus and a child of God. So just to remember that is so key. So maybe you take out a post-it note, a piece of paper when you get home today, or even in the pews as you sit, and write on that piece of paper, Sabbath was meant for me. Or maybe write, Sabbath is part of the plan, and then stick that piece of paper up on your window in your bathroom. You can see it in the morning, or on the dashboard of your car, or put it as a reminder in iCalendar that you might remember Sabbath. Second, it can be helpful to us to give ourselves and one another permission to rest. The permission's already been given to us. In fact, it's not only permission to keep Sabbath, right? The Ten Commandments, God commanded us to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. A whole day is difficult for us in our culture. Things have changed a bit, but periods and times of Sabbath may be more doable for us. But the idea is that God has given us permission to observe Sabbath so we can give ourselves and those around us permission. It's not hard. You just stand up nice and tall, right? With great courage and a loud voice, just say, Self, I give you permission to rest. See if that works. The third suggestion is the hardest one, perhaps, and it's to find space in your calendar and in your family's calendar to observe a time of rest. Right? There are forces that want to keep us producing and consuming all the time. It can be really hard to push back against that. And here's what I found that helps it. Remaining on the general with our calendars is the place where Sabbath dreams go to die, right? So to say, you know, I don't have any time in my schedule. I'm so busy. There's so much going on. I just don't have time to add another thing into my life. But if you look specifically at your calendar and maybe find a half a day, 2 hours, an hour, 10 minutes where your family can just on a regular basis make an intentional commitment to rest, right? You might just have a little bit of time in there that you don't think you have, or this is even better, this is way better. You can use Sabbath observation, what Abraham Joshua Heschel calls a sanctuary in time, right? You can establish this sanctuary in time that will allow you to say no to things that you don't want to do and you don't need to be doing anyway. The study that's not feeding you, the committee that's dysfunctional and you just don't want to be part of it anymore. Everything at church is awesome. You definitely got to keep doing that. No, even at church, right? So there are things in our lives that we might want and need to say no to. And what if you were able to say to somebody, I'm sorry, I can't do that on that day and time because that's when I and my family rest. They might fill with bewilderment and maybe annoyance, but definitely envy too. Wow, you do that? How can I have that in my life? Lastly, it helps when developing a pattern of Sabbath in your life to give some thought to what you're going to do during that time, right? Brueggemann's quote was this idea of this in our brains of this puritanical prohibition, right? You know, you can't, blue laws, you can't buy alcohol on Sundays, you know. This image in my mind is like sitting around in the living room that no one ever goes into with all the furniture covered in plastic, and you're in a suit and tie and a dress, and you just have to sit there bored out of your mind, twiddling your thumbs and watching the paint peel. But that's not Sabbath at all. Sabbath is not meant to be a boring burden. A Jewish friend of mine says that when it's Sabbath at his household, they eat and drink and make love and sleep. That sounds pretty good, right? Sounds pretty amazing. That's not a boring burden at all. Sabbath is not meant to take from us. It's a tremendous gift that God has given to us, given us permission for, commanded us to do, because God wants us to laugh and to sleep and to take care of our bodies and take care of our relationships and to pray and to worship and drink and make love and just do all of the things that fill us completely. God wants that for us and says Sabbath is part of that plan. So finding time to keep a Sabbath pattern in your life can be difficult, but it can help to remember that it's part of the plan, to give yourself permission to fill it with all of the best and most wonderful things, and find, as you do that, just how contagious Sabbath can be. So once you start it, it might very well be hard to stop. So much more to say about Sabbath, but we'll leave things there for now. We will rest for now. Next week, we will continue this series by looking at the topic of impermanence. Between now and then, though, my prayer for each of us and all of us is that we find Sabbath patterns in our lives, whatever that looks like for us, and through that, to be recreated anew. May it be so in Christ's name and for the life of the whole world. Amen.